Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are at the second half of our week talking about Philippians chapter 2, what Paul is teaching us about how our vertical relationship with Christ really begins to bear fruit in our relationships and our communities. And as we've talked about, we see this over and over and over again, that if we have a vertical relationship with Christ, if we say we are praying, if we're in relationship with the Lord and he's beginning to change us, this begins and should begin to bear fruit in our behavior with others. And as we've talked about so many times, if we're not seeing that fruit come and we're not seeing our hearts begin to change and be purified over periods of time, then it's time to go back to the Lord, because there's something wrong. There's something wrong there with how we're allowing the Lord to convict us, to shape us, and purify us. And so we've been talking a lot about community. We've been talking about allowing the Lord to purify our intentions. We've been talking about being sanctified by him, and that really leading to humility. That leading to the ability to put others before ourselves. And actually, for these last two episodes, I have a member of my own community here, a good friend of mine, to kind of discuss these next couple of verses with us and chew on a couple of verses with us. And so I have my very good friend, Adora, here. She was visiting from Chicago. Adora, welcome to Burning Hearts.
I'm so excited, Rachel. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. This is a nice little surprise for us. I was like, why don't you pop down and we could talk about God's word together? Because the core really, friends, is talking about God's word with your friends, with people that you love, and mining God's word. So Adora, can you just give us a really very quick rundown of who you are, what the Lord's doing in your life, that kind of thing, and then we'll dive into the word.
Yes, I'm originally from Southeast Michigan, and that's where I met you, going to Father Gabriel Richard and volunteering at Pine Hills. But otherwise, I am a disciple who lives in Chicago. I am recently married last year, and, you know, I'm just trying to become holy. That is the theme of the game. I worked for a long time in journalism, mostly at NPR stations, and I recently went freelance.
Love it. That's so good. It's like, I find that too when people are like, who are you? What's your testimony? I'm like, there's a lot of things that I could say, mostly like, I'm broken. I'm trying to be holy. I'm trying to love Jesus. And like, that's the 5-year plan. That's the 10-year plan. And so I love it. And Adora is great. She's one of my friends that holds me so much accountable and is truly holy in the Lord. So I'm so excited to get into this word. So Adora, normally what we do here, we read God's word and then we just see what God's saying to us about it. So friends, let's go ahead and pray. And then we're going to read a couple passages and we're just going to discuss and see what the Lord's saying to us. So if you'll join me in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this word from Paul. We thank you for the ways that you've been speaking to us, that you've been convicting our hearts, that you've been letting the light of your love shine into these places that we need to grow, that we need to learn how to love. And I pray, Lord, as we dive today into your word, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified, that you would show us who you are and give us the grace to submit to your lordship so that we may walk with you in a new way. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Actually, Adora, I'm going to have you read. Can you read verse 4 through the end, through verse 10 right there? So, friends, we're going to be in 2, verse 4 through 10. Sorry, it's kind of, she's holding my physical Bible, which is small print and a lot of underlining.
Which is a flex. It means you use it. It means you use it. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. That's such a beautiful passage. Is that's the end? Yeah.
That's the end.
This is, friends, as I was saying earlier this week, Paul calls this the hymn of Christ. He calls this the hymn of Christ. And I find it so interesting that you know, Paul is, he's beginning, he's like, this is how you can complete my joy. He's literally in prison. And we talked about this at the beginning. Anyway, he's saying, this is how you can complete my joy. Be one. Be in unity. Mm. Like, that's pretty convicting, right? Because the church is pretty divided. But he's saying, and I want you to maybe speak on this, Adora. How do you look at, he's saying, how do you look after the interests of others? How do you be humble? Have this mind among you, which was in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Although he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. So they're saying, put on the mind mm-hmm. of Christ. And this is the level of humility that Jesus had. What's like stirring in your heart just as you read that or as you hear that?
Big tough. First of all, it's very convicting. but secondly, I think it's just calling me to not be so focused on how other people are viewing me. Like, if Christ did not view equality with God something to be grasped, like, he was just trying to draw others to the Father, and he wasn't trying to gain personal glory.
Yeah.
So how am I trying to gain personal glory, and how can I stop doing that and just point to the one who made all things possible and is the reason that we're here, which is God?
That's so convicting. And it's part of the reason, too, it's so convicting is like the one person ever to walk the earth that deserves to live in a way to gain personal glory is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
The one who is God.
Like the one who is raised in glory and who lives in glory. And he says, actually, I'm going to hide my glory, because not that his glory goes away. Right. That would be heresy. It's not like, oh, he becomes a baby. He's glorious in a different way. And also his glory is veiled to the human eye. And he spends his life, his particular glory being veiled in that way, but he's the one who deserves that glory. And he chooses in a particular way to humble himself to the plan of the Father. And so his priority is the Father and the mission of the Father, and actually putting aside that glory that he deserves. Mm-hmm. And we seek the glory that we don't deserve. And we act like we deserve
the irony. Oh, you know? That's painful. Yeah. What does it convict for you?
Yeah, I think there's just like having this mind among you, I think that phrase, and Paul will use it again and again, put on the mind of Christ, have the same mind, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that there's actually like, and I'm not trying to say like psychology or like neurobiology or whatever, but the scripture is so clear about the importance of our minds. And I think I'm just so convicted, even just thinking about my last couple of days, of just how much I've let my mind run rampant and like thinking of all these thoughts about myself, giving into all of these lies, thinking thoughts about others, like giving into selfishness, giving into conceit, giving into seeking my own glory. And all of those things lead to what? Not humility, not seeking the interests of others. But like the way to unity is not this uniformity, it's having the mind of Christ. And so it'd actually be like, Lord, like, give me your mind. Like, I want to think what you think. Mm-hmm. I want to see, because when I have the mind of Christ, I see what he sees. I feel what he feels.
Yeah.
Because for us, like for our human mind, that's the center of everything.
Yes.
You know? And then the level of conviction is have this same mind among you that's in Christ Jesus. Not just like, be joyful, be happy. Mm-hmm. The same mind is this level of humility that is almost ungraspable, you know?
Yep. And what you said with protecting your mind reminds me of one of your earlier episodes, too, where you were talking about just we need to be convicted about what we are putting into our minds and making sure those things reflect Christ. Because a lot of the things in the world and a lot of entertainment that we think is like not that bad. That's what you're talking about. Things that are not that bad. Okay, but are they good? Are they pointing me toward virtue? Are they helping me become holy? It's not good enough to just be okay with things not being that bad, not being mortal sins.
Right. Yes. And if I was thinking about I have the mind of Christ, would I be putting, like, I don't know if you've ever heard, like, this isn't the exact phrasing, but there's things that, like, if our grandma was in the room with us, we wouldn't, like, watch. Not because it's inappropriate, but because it's like,
not classy.
Yeah, so you know what I mean? Or, like, things like that
ratchet.
Where it's like, okay, you wouldn't be putting on this rap music in the car, you know, like, with your grandma there, because she's going to be like, what are you listening to?
Right.
And it's a funny example, but thinking of the thing of, like, if I actually have the mind of Christ, and I think of that more than just, like, an idea, would I be putting this junk, not this immoral stuff, but this junk into the mind of Christ?
Yeah, junk is a good term.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, would I be putting this junk into the mind of Christ?
No.
Yeah, exactly. And it leads to that selfishness and conceit, which I think is really good. So it's like guarding that. And I think one thing too, I remember I had a theology professor who always said, like, this is Adam and Eve's sin wasn't necessarily that they desired this greatness. And it wasn't even necessarily that they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is that they ate it too soon. Ooh. That God didn't just say no, he said not yet. Because God's eternal plan was to elevate man to the level of God, was for man to share in the very nature of God, the very relationship between the Father and the Son. But the whole image of, like, instead of receiving with open hands what God had to give them, Adam and Eve grasped for the apple. And so that the sin was actually like grasping, mm-hmm. you know? And so do you ever find like in your life there are places maybe where you have experienced like grasping at things that makes you actually miss what the Lord wants to give you?
Oh, 100%. Because even hearing you talk about it, it's like grasping demonstrates my lack of trust in God. So yeah, whenever I'm coming from this place of scarcity and I'm like, okay, God, well, you need to take care of these things for me. And I don't see you doing that, or it's not clear to me how you're doing that. So now I'm going to take care of it, things for myself. That is where I end up grasping. Like, I think probably a good example recently in my life is this career transition I've made. Mm-hmm. I have felt convicted that, like, you know, God wants me to use my communications gifts in ways where I can, like, more directly talk about him and more directly just share the fruit that he has born in my life with other people and invite them into that relationship with God and invite them to be able to grow in virtue, which I was really kind of restricted on how much I could authentically share myself when I was doing just straight secular news.
Totally.
But then it was also scary because it's like, okay, what now though do you have for me? The path I was on was very clear to me. This is how you succeed. This is how you move up. And it was very, like, respected by the people around me. So, yeah, this has been a big season of, like, okay, I just have to have open hands and not grasp for the next thing. Yeah. When I do grasp for the next thing, it gets me into trouble. That happened to me as well. Like, I ended up choosing to do something, basically, that was not out of discernment, and then I had to quit it. Versus if I had just been willing to sit in that posture of openness, I would have never signed up for that thing in the first place.
That's such a good example. I think a lot of people can relate to that because there's two things that you said that I think are so good coming from that scarcity place. And I think sometimes we convince ourselves because of our lack of our trust in God that it's better, we would rather have something than nothing. And so we convince ourselves that, like, well, I'm grasping for this thing because I don't know if I'm going to get the actual thing that I'm waiting for God, on God. Yeah. And we can actually, like, we can actually make it seem like it's like prudence.
Yes.
You know? And I think the also thing you said is waiting with open hands. And there's a posture of, like, that open posture is vulnerable. Like, there's a vulnerability there. And so there's almost a self-protection in us doing an action of, like, I'm grasping and I'm not just staying open. Because what if I stay open and I'm just, like, disappointed or somebody attacks me?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's, like, this posture of vulnerability. And so I think there's a way there that maybe I think the Lord is really speaking to us about, like, even Jesus, he had open hands to give back and receive from the Father. Him who needed to receive nothing, he received everything from the Father, you know? Yeah.
Okay, how do you keep your hands open then?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that's something that we have to follow Jesus's way that he shows us. And I think, you know, we're going to wrap up today, friends. We have a few more seconds here. And I want to talk about tomorrow because I think I want to begin with that question from Adora. How do we keep our hands open? How do we stay open to the Lord and where he's guiding us? Because I think for a lot of us, this is a tough question in our lives because we're always closing off. I know for me, I'm always closing off. And so tomorrow, join us as we talk about this question. How do we stay open to what the Lord has for us? Thank you so much for joining us. God bless.
Thank you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.